Something that I want us to already begin with today is the way that we perceive these cycles in our life, even the term breaking cycles, right? Breaking repeating cycles. I already kind of have an issue with, only because it's not necessarily the cycles that we break. Okay, it's not the cycles that we break. It's not like, oh, I'm going through the same loop over and over and over again. Let me shatter the loop, right? That's not what we're doing here. In reality, what we're truly doing is completing the cycle. We need to complete the cycle, but this is where so many of us get frustrated and get stuck, where we're on the cycle. We're going, and then we get blocked. There is resistance, there is fear, there is unexpected change, there's unpredictability, there is emotional triggers, our traumas are flaring up again. And so when we're experiencing that obstacle and we are banging our heads against the wall, trying to see how we can overcome this, ultimately we get fatigued. We get fatigued, we get exhausted, and then we let our autopilot take over. And once our autopilot takes over, that's when we actively step into the cycle all over again. And then you're going to see that cycle come through. And you're always going to feel like you can't move on to the next thing. So where do we see this most commonly? We see this most commonly or feel this most commonly in our relationships with people. So if you understand what your attachment style is, we're going to use anxious attachment style just as an example. You're someone who is anxious when it comes to love, and you're not feeling very secure allowing people to come into your life, and you're not really feeling that secure giving that love to other people. But typically when it comes to the anxious attachment styles, anxious attachment style people in relationships can often want to love everybody, and they have no boundaries, they have no standards, they have no expectations. And even if they do, if they get that glimmer of love or glimmer of attention or glimmer of hope and energy from somebody else, they are way more willing to abandon a lot of those standards and expectations and settle for a lot less, because they believe that they are only worthy of that love that they are being given at that point in time. And there, of course, goes, there's so many other things that go into that, like self-worth, self-esteem, self-image, everything like that, feeling stable on your own, independence. But when someone with an anxious attachment style goes through that flow and goes through that rhythm, a lot of the times they are then attracted to an avoidant attachment style. So now we have this cat and mouse game where someone is the chaser and someone is the runner. Someone's running away and someone's chasing after them. And typically the avoidant is the one running away. And then you have the anxious attachment style person who is the one who is chasing. And then what happens? Once the anxious attachment person stops chasing because they get exhausted, right? That is them constantly hitting their head against the wall, seeing, okay, let me try this. This is what I really want to do. And it's not really working. And then all of a sudden they get exhausted. They stop trying. And then they kind of start back at the beginning of that cycle. And as they start back at the beginning of that cycle, the avoidant attachment person says, hey, wait, hold on. I kind of like that attention that you're giving me. I kind of liked being the one that you were going after. I see now the value in you because you were working so hard to get me. And now that you're not working so hard to get me anymore, I'm flipping out. I'm going crazy over here. And now I want you. And so now the anxious attachment style person is the one who could potentially be running away, while the avoidant attachment person is the one who's now doing the chasing. And then that dopamine, that addiction, right? That bond that is a toxic karmic bond starts all over again. And now, as soon as the anxious attachment person says, oh, wow, you're chasing me? This is everything that I've wanted. The avoidant attachment, what do? They go through the same exact cycle of running away again because they are trying to avoid that emotional vulnerability, intimacy, and commitment. So this is a very in-depth example of how we can see a certain pattern or cycle play out. So is it truly about breaking that cycle, or is it truly about making different decisions, taking different actions, embodying a different behavior, right? Having a new perspective. And for the most part, it's typically an opposite perspective of what you had been embodying before, believing before, or seeing before. And so who can relate? Who can relate that maybe in your love life, in your relationships? This doesn't even have to be something that is romantic, but even platonic or familial. How many of you have experienced the same cycles repeating over and over and over again in your relationships? I want to hear you guys in the chat. how many of you guys have experienced that? You don't have to tell me if you're anxious, attachment, or avoidant, or whatever, but just let me know, like, a yes or no, like, I've been there, done that, I've been in a cycle, I'm still in a cycle. Let me know where you're at with that. Courtney says, for sure. We all have. It is part of the human experience, right? And so that's just one example. I can go into many, but we're going to go into those examples when we actually get into the hot seat coaching component of it. So now that we understand how certain cycles are present in our life, and now that we understand that we don't have to break the cycle, we have to just allow the cycle to be completed, and that's when we then can experience something new, experience something different. What we're actually breaking here is the habit. Okay, we're breaking the habit. So what is that quote from, like, Einstein, right? Like, insanity is repeating something over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome. So we don't want to be in Einstein's perception of what insanity is. We want to actually change the habit. So what we are truly breaking is the habit. And if you guys are picking up what I'm putting down, I want you to write habit in the chat. We're breaking habits. What are we breaking? We're breaking the habits. We're not breaking the cycles. We're not breaking the patterns. We're breaking the habit. I want to see 5 habits in the chat. So when we are considering, like, okay, there is a cycle. I know it's here, right? I know it's present in my life. Then how do I take where I am right now? How do I take the habit that I've been embodying and break that? How do I change that? We're going to go through a step-by-step process to help you understand how you can take your current situation right now and flip it on its head and actively complete that cycle. Something that is important to remember in this process is that since we're not breaking the cycle, we're only breaking the habit, is the cycle is always going to repeat itself. It's just going to repeat itself in a new way, in a new font, right? So it's like the same thing, different font. When you complete that cycle, let's say you break the habit, you got it on lock, you have a different standard and perception and expectation of your current reality, and you're actively embodying that 100% of the time, truly, really, 100% of the time, you're going to experience that cycle over again. And now you can say, whoa, 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 universe, hello, spirit guides, what's happening? I thought we completed the cycle. I thought that we learned this lesson. I thought that we've been here already. Why am I experiencing this all over again? And the reason is because you don't break the cycle. You don't break the cycle. You repeat the cycle over and over and over and over and over again. However, once you begin that cycle and you repeat it, and you know what you're doing this time, and you're being very conscious and aware, and you have integrated a lot more of that conscious aspect of yourself instead of that autopilot aspect of yourself, what happens is that cycle that you go on is much faster. You feel a lot more confident, as long as you're not forgetting, right? As long as you're not going back into autopilot, as long as you're not getting frustrated, as long as you're not letting it stop you, the shock of the cycle repeating itself. What happens is that it gets much faster, you get much easier at it, and then it repeats in a different way. But as it repeats, it's almost like this cycle that used to hold so much weight in your life, this cycle that used to be a completely overbearing for you, the next time that you experience it, gets a little bit smaller, 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 gets a little bit smaller. So let's say for you, a cycle that you have is in your career, where you get super excited because you just got hired. Now you're here, you're in this company, and you're very happy that you get to do something that is correlating to what your natural gifts and talents and skill set are. But then you hear some whispers, and then you start to hear your name, and then you start to get some looks, and then you start to feel that people are very snarky around you. Then you start to feel that people are maybe jealous of you or sending you evil eye, and the environment in the workplace is getting very toxic. So toxic that you start to internalize all of that. You start to use your ability to validate yourself less and less, and you are now using external validation as your primary source of validation. You go into a meeting, you're underprepared, you start to get nervous. The people who are examining you, or it feels like they're examining you, but they're just experiencing you in that moment, in that meeting, and you're messing up and you're fumbling, you're not as prepared. Maybe you didn't get that promotion. Maybe something really dramatic happens between the co-working space and you're like, oh, I can't be here anymore. This is awful. This is horrible. This has made my career something that I don't even want to be in anymore. So, okay, you decide that you want to go to a different company. Now you're excited. You get hired. Now you're like, okay, this is even better. This is exactly really what I want to do, more so than the other job, right? Maybe I'm getting paid a little bit more. This is great. And then what happens? The people look at you again. You start to get nervous. You start to say, wow, this is very similar to my last job. Why is it always that these people are making me feel this way? Why is it always that I'm anxious whenever I'm getting into a meeting? And then why is it always that I feel like the center of drama and the center of attention with all of the people in this co-working space? So that cycle that you have that is repeating over and over and over again, let's say that you actively decide to make different choices. Let's say that you are aware of you not placing that internal validation above the external. And so every single day you say, let's, for instance, have affirmations. Let's say you begin energy healing yourself, energy cleansing yourself. Maybe you learn how to protect your energy. Maybe you start to see yourself from outside of you and say, you know what? These people, they're not even causing drama with me. I'm putting myself into this drama. I'm putting myself into a defensive position here. What they have going on, I don't really need to be a part of. I just got to do my work. So you start talking to yourself and to others differently. You start showing up differently, you start making different decisions. All of the actions that you're taking comes from a different energy of empowerment or love or joy and excitement, inspiration and creativity, rather than the fear, right? Rather than the frustration or the anger or the guilt or the shame or the embarrassment. And then you realize, okay, now I'm getting promoted and now more people like me, now more people respect me. In a different cycle. Let's say you get promoted and now you're manager, same company, but now you're manager. So now you have to not co-work with these people anymore, but now you're in charge of them. New cycle, but it's a little bit smaller, isn't it? So are you still going to allow those same people to create a toxic, dramatic work environment? Are you still going to allow those other people to drain your energy? Are you still going to allow yourself to feel nervous now that you're in this new position and you are in a hierarchy? When it comes to your peers now, maybe they're no longer peers anymore. So that is how that cycle can re-emerge into your life and be reimagined, but it's different now. Will you allow it to be the same, or will you actively choose to make that different? When you choose to navigate these cycles, you want to understand that these cycles can be navigated through ease and through inner knowing. However, you have to be able to do so through understanding your own intuition, which we'll get to in a little bit. This is not necessarily how to connect to your intuition, but primarily everything that you ever need help navigating in life, you have to be able to lean on your intuition in a way that you feel is reliable, that you can trust, that you feel is a very strong intuition, and you're no longer second guessing yourself, that you can understand the difference between your own intuition and an egoic or intrusive thought. So let's go into this step-by-step process. And if you have not been writing anything down yet, make sure that you're writing things down. Here we go. Number one, my step-by-step process in breaking repeating cycles. The first step is the question game. And we're going to be doing this for each and every single one of you. The first thing is the question game. You have to find the source or root cause. So let's just call it the source, right? You have to find the source cause of the emotion. We're looking for the core emotion here. So for instance, let's say you want to break the repeating cycle of lack in your life. Maybe you are someone who, even though you get promoted and you get more money, you still find yourself having a lack of funds every single month. So it doesn't matter how much more you're actually receiving, for some reason, you're still spending more because you're receiving more, or you're gifting things to others more because in some way, in some form, in a subconscious level, you are uncomfortable with having a surplus of money. So even if you are receiving more, you're still letting it kind of fall out through the back end because your nervous system is not regulated. Your nervous system is not balanced enough to be able to hold that capacity for wealth. And so no matter what income looks like, you know, coming into your life, you are doing whatever you can subconsciously or unconsciously to get yourself back to that level of lack that your body has now become comfortable with. So someone can come to me and say, my cycle that I want to break is feeling lack when it comes to my money, when it comes to my abundance, when it comes to my income. And I will then say, okay, why are you experiencing that lack? And then you can say something like, well, because, you know, I don't really know. Most people don't know, but we dig further. So for example, they could say, okay, well, you know what? I just always grew up in lack. And even though I'm making my own money now, I feel like everybody in my family expects me to pay their bills and expects me to take them out to nice dinners. Okay, here we go. Why are you saying yes to your family every single time they're asking something of you financially? Well, because I love them and, you know, I think it's good for me to do, but I can't really take it anymore and it's draining me. Okay, so why are you still allowing yourself to be drained? Well, I just don't know how to uphold boundaries. Great. Why don't you know how to uphold your boundaries? So do you see, and we're going to do this in hot seat coaching, so you're going to see it in real life with yourself and with others in the community. We always have excuses and reasons for things that are brought up to the surface, but they are just surface level. It's not necessarily the core. For that person in that hypothetical situation, the core could be them feeling undeserving and unworthy of abundance. Point blank period. It could be as simple as that. But since that has been integrated within their being and they have consistently given themselves evidence and proof of that over and over and over and over and over again by their choices, their decisions, and their actions, the words that they speak, how they carry themselves, the groups that they hang out with, the environments that they're in, the things that they listen to, the media that they consume, the lack of intention or awareness, the more that they are in that, the more that they're getting evidence of that, and it's getting into their subconscious, the more and more and more it's manifesting into all these other things. So the point here is not to say, okay, great, let's just work on the lack in your life. Let's just work on the lack of abundance. We actually really want to work on the core, because it's kind of like when you are gardening and you have a whole bunch of weeds. You don't want to just mow lawnmower over that weed, right? You don't want to just chop off the head of it because it's going to grow back. You want to make sure that you're finding that root, you're finding that core, and you're picking it up from there. But you also don't want to just leave that gaping hole there, right? Because something else could happen. Something else could fall in there that we don't really want. So we want to make sure that we're infusing that with something else that we prefer, whether it's fresher soil, whether it is a completely new plant, whatever it is that you wish, whatever it is that you're moving forward to. Let's say you want to make a rose bush garden, you want to plant more roses there, you can, as long as it has the proper foundation. So this goes into the other steps that we have. The first step is the guessing game or the question game, right? The second one is to address it. So now that we know what that source is, we can then begin to address that and that only. Because we don't have to address too much of the lack and too much of the boundaries. We should, but we don't have to address that too much right now if we're getting it at the core first. Because when we get it at the core first, everything else on top of that, every other experience that is not preferred by you that correlates to that core, then starts to alleviate itself naturally and organically, where we don't have to hyper-focus and hyper-fixate on that anymore. They are the side effects and the symptoms of the greater issue. So instead of band-aiding that the symptoms, we're trying to get at that greater issue. We're trying to give the medicine where it's needed. All right? So when we address that source, emotion or energy or trauma or trigger, whatever it is that you want to call it, we want to find where it is in the body. Chances are you already know where it is in your body on a very energetic subconscious level, but consciously you may be completely unaware of where that is. If we're sticking to the example of unworthiness, feeling undeserving, feeling a bit inadequate, we can easily point to the solar plexus, right? Because that is our life force center. That is what keeps us feeling joyful. That is what keeps us feeling confident. That is what keeps us feeling secure in many ways when it comes to the perception that we have of ourselves. Our solar plexus is where we hold a lot of our self-worth and currency. I always say that self-worth, self-value, that is your energetic currency. And the more self-worth and self-value that you have, honestly, the more money you are able to receive because your solar plexus, one of your energy centers, is no longer blocking it. Now, if you, I'm going to take a minute to segue here. If you do not know that much about your energy centers and you kind of know what a solar plexus is, you kind of know what a root is, you kind of know what a crown is, but you're still completely oblivious, this is where I urge you to go into the free masterclass that I have called Chakra Codes so you can understand more of your energy centers. This all flows and works much better when you understand your energy centers, what they do for you, what happens when they're blocked or impacted, what happens if there's too much energy flow or too little energy flow in each and every single one of your energy centers. It is a system. It is meant to work that way. It is not meant for just one to be balanced and the rest can do whatever they want. If one is out of balance, there's another one in the system that is overcompensating or undercompensating for it. So it is very important that if you do not know about your energy centers, that you get to know about them today. And that could be something that you watch right after this live training. So you want to figure out where that energy is in your energy center that you may be holding on to. From there, we can begin the releasing process, which is pulling that weed out from the root, and then the infusion process where we're plugging in that medicine of what we need. Now, the medicine that you may need varies from person to person. And it varies depending on the situation or the emotion or the energy that is trapped there. Okay, that's why we're going to be working it out together here. And then lastly, it is creating the physical game plan. So what are the actual action steps that you are going to take? So if we are still staying here with the example of the lack, let's say we're healing that solar plexus. Let's say that there's a couple different energy centers like the root or even the heart space that still needed a lot of that healing as well. So we go through the healing process. We're energy cleansing ourselves. We're understanding which element of earth, air, fire, water, or spirit we need in those energy centers. We're infusing that medicine. We're giving our bodies what it needs to stay in balance. We are connecting with the elements that create our energy as a whole. And then from there, we create that action plan. Now, that action plan can be having stronger boundaries. That action plan can be budgeting. That action plan can be having a conversation with our family and friends saying, hey, I am saving up for this, so I can't spend this. Or I feel like I've been a little bit taken advantage of, so I'm going to need to do this instead. Or if it's speaking up a lot more to get more money in your job. You want that promotion. You want to take on more responsibility. You want to go on that business trip. Closed mouths don't get fed, right? Then you start to take the action to make a difference moving forward. And that is how you actively complete that cycle and change that habit. But if you miss one or more of these steps, it's going to be very challenging for you. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to have this step-by-step process and it's going to be very easy for you to nail on the first time. And if it is, all the power to you. And I love to see that. But that doesn't happen for everyone, especially on the first try. Why? Because oftentimes our autopilot is a lot stronger than that conscious activity that we're doing. Our subconscious rules 95% of our waking life every single day, day in, day out. And our conscious mind, the one that's activated at this point in time, the one that you typically use for your affirmations, the one that you're like, oh, okay, I'm thinking here, I'm thinking that, oh, gotta go to the grocery store. All of that is your conscious mind. That only rules 5% of what you do. So the goal here is not necessarily to eliminate the autopilot, it's to create a different autopilot. We can create an autopilot that better serves us, right? We just have to be willing and able to become aware of what that autopilot actually is, how we're showing up for ourselves, what we're consuming, right? It's all these factors, the environments that we're in, the words that we're using, I don't know if I said that already, the actions that we're taking, the decisions that we're making, the energy that we have behind the actions that we're taking, all of those need to be evaluated. This process will work for nearly every single cycle that you're experiencing, okay? There are some outliers, of course, but those are very dependent on situational factors. Okay, great. So we have Courtney. I know I'm literally a star. I have a story and a voice that I have to share. It's not leaving me alone. I keep downplaying myself because I was told, no, you can't do that. And my talent is something I have to forage, specifically with music and writing. Okay, so let me dissect this a little bit. You have this inner knowing, you have this inner calling, you have this inner passion, and you can see a version of you excelling with these talents and with these gifts of creativity that you have and self-expression that you have. So much so that the calling keeps calling and it's probably getting louder and louder and louder, which is also the universe giving you that push and giving you that urge to be able to have the momentum and the anticipation and the energy to actively fulfill that. So I love to see that the universe is calling you forth and calling you forth very loudly right now. It's almost like when the universe is magnetizing you or pulling you into a certain direction. You said it's so loud. So you said, I keep downplaying yourself. So here we go. That's a little bit of that cycle that we're looking to complete, right? I keep downplaying myself because I was told, no, you can't do that. So who told you that you couldn't do that? Let's start there. This is the guessing game component of it. Who told you that you could not do what it is that you want to do, which is your writing and which is your music? You said, I've said this before, I know music is part of my journey. I got to download that writing is a big part of it. And then you said your mom is the one who told you that you can't do that. Okay, so let me ask you something. Every single thing that your mom has ever told you, have you believed? And we're talking about everything. Every single thing that your mom has ever told you in life, have you always believed it? If your mom said, you know how moms always kind of say those little white lies, where they're just saying something just to say it. Have you always believed every, or are there some things that your mom has told you or maybe still tells you and you're like, I know that's not even the truth. That's not even real. That's not even something that I subscribe to anymore. I know different because I have lived experience now, right? Maybe when we're younger, we take and believe a lot more of what our parents tell us. But as we get older, we start to live life on our own and we start to see, you know what? That may be you, but that's not necessarily me. You said, I remember being so confident and I remember her saying that and it shook me so hard. I remember gasping. And you're like, yeah, like, no, not now. You don't believe everything. So why are you still choosing to believe that? Why are you still choosing to hold on to a weight that is forcing you into a lifestyle and into an embodiment that doesn't resonate with your soul? Why are you still holding on to it? And this is zero judgment. This is absolutely zero judgment. It's always a safe and sacred space here, which I know that you know, Courtney, but for others who are here for the first time working together in this hot seat coaching, they may not know. This is something completely, completely safe and sacred. I'm just someone who loves and shoves, so I can be a bit direct. And I love to be direct with this kind of work because sometimes shadows and fears and things that are holding us down and our ego need to be addressed very bluntly and very directly, at least I have found, right? Because if they're going to hold so much weight into our life, at least allow us to show up with that same kind of weight and say, hey, hold on, I'm facing you right now. You're not that scary. Let's just have a conversation. Let's chat. Let's sit. Let's have some tea, right? So right now we're having some tea with our shadow. So you said, it's easy. It's easier to hold on to the weight that you've always been holding on to than to let go and step into the unknown, than to let go and to stop and to go into oblivion, right? To take that leap of faith. It's much easier. It's always like, it's that saying, and I don't know where it comes from, but everybody has a set of problems, right? Issues. If I told you right now, write me down a list of 5 problems that you have currently that you're experiencing in your life, you would be able to fill out the whole page, like way past those 5. And if we were to write down every single thing that we want to let go of and that we don't want to experience in our life anymore, and have everybody in the world put that list into a hat and we shuffle it and we shake it, and then we take out somebody else's list and we look at it, we would all be so quick to reach back for our list, right? Because sometimes the known weight and the known emotional resistance is a lot easier because we have experienced it for so long that we've grown a comfort to it. And when we grow a comfort to some of these energies that could be weighing us down or holding us back, we then begin to identify with it. So right here, Courtney, where our core issue is, and I don't want to necessarily call it an issue, but where our source of resistance is a part of your identity. There is still some version of you, no matter how old that version of you is, 8-year-old, 10-year-old, maybe you know exactly what age that memory, that emotion happened, but that version of you that gasped, that version of you that was shook in that moment still hasn't healed. And so you have to hold on to that version of you because you can't necessarily let that version go just yet. There's still too much weight there. But what we can do is integrate that version of us back into the present moment. So for you, one of the ways to release this would obviously be inner child healing, which you know plenty of. Not only that, where in your body do you feel it? And this is a question that I want you to answer. And I'm going to receive these new messages in just a moment here. You said definitely around 9. So present day Courtney is going to have to time travel back to 9-year-old self. And you don't have to travel back to the exact memory if it's too triggering for you. And if you feel like you can't handle it, or it's not going to be something that you feel is necessary. You can if you want to. You can if you feel that you can do that in a way that feels safe and comfortable for your nervous system and for your body. All you have to do is invite that 9-year-old to the present moment and say, hey, babe, what's going on? What are we feeling? And what do you need from me? And listen to what that 9-year-old version of Courtney has to say, because I promise you, all of these versions of yourself from the past know exactly what they need and they want. When you were living it in that moment, the emotions were too intense. The experience was too real. You were in the thick of it. And you were also younger, so you had less life experience to really truly understand the gravity of the situation and to see it from a point of view that's a bird's eye point of view. So since you were way too into it, you may not know what you needed or wanted in that moment, but since you are the wisest that you are have ever been at this point in time, you're the most experienced that you've ever been at this point in time, it's going to be much easier for that 9-year-old version of you to express themselves. And if you ever meet an inner child version of you where they don't really know how to express themselves, that's when you just go into the feeling. That's when you just play the feelings game. And you say, okay, you don't have to tell me what you need, because I can tell that all you need for me to do is to be here with you, to sit here with you, to ride the wave of emotions, which is a process that I talk about a lot in my Beyond Balance program and in my private coaching mentorship. So all we have to do is feel that emotion and let it flow. And that's how you can start the releasing process. Then when you do something like that, you ask that version of you, that 9-year-old version of you, are you willing to come with me now? Are you understanding that I'm here as your protector now? Are you understanding that I'm your cheerleader now? Are you understanding that whenever we do something together, we're doing it together now? You're not alone in doing this anymore. You don't have to hide anymore. I understand now. I maybe was ignoring you for a long time because I didn't know what to do with you, but now I do. And since I know what to do with you right now, take my hand, let's go together. Are you willing? Can you come? And they literally always say yes because they want to evolve too. You're always going to have that 9-year-old version of you, because that 9-year-old version of you doesn't just have that pain or that trauma. That 9-year-old version of you has lived experience as well. It has fun. It has creativity. It has inspiration that could help you with your writing, that could help you with your singing, that could help you with your music. It has all of that. And so integrating that component of you will embody within you a lot more of that confidence, embody within you a lot more of that excitement, of that joy. And this is also how you can help heal some creative blocks as well. So once you've gone through that process, the infusion is the medicine. So now we're on what maybe step 4 is the infusion part of it. What does that 9-year-old version of you need? What do you need at this present day and time? And can you consistently create a routine that allows you to funnel that into your life every single day. Okay. So I'm going to see some of these new messages. And for you, it's the sacral. So in the sacral, there can be many emotions that are stuck and trapped and stagnant. And so in that moment, you may have felt very embarrassed, right? You may have felt very guilty. You may have felt ashamed. And also, since that sacral is in charge of our creativity, our passion, our intimacy, in ways of giving and receiving, right? It's our pleasure center. I'm pretty sure writing and music makes you feel very pleasurable. Since those are all energies that can get stuck and trapped and stagnant inside of the sacral, that's something that I want you to become aware of as well. What are the emotions that are stuck in that sacral? And since for you, Courtney, you already know how to move that energy throughout your body, focus in on it with that specific intention and infuse that medicine. And you said there is 100% a creative block because of it. Yeah. So now we get into the last part of it, which is the action, right? And so when you get off of this live training, you're still going to have to go through this process. We are just basically overviewing the process for you so that you know what to do when you're on your own. But then at the very end, you're going to have to create an action or a game plan. And that should at least include 3 different tangible, actionable steps that will help you this week or even today make you feel like you can go forth into a different direction. And that will help you complete this cycle. And then when you complete the cycle, know that it will repeat. But how you choose to respond to it and navigate through it once it does repeat is completely up to you, right? Completely up to you. Because there's always going to be another person or another being within you or outside of you that is going to make you remember that moment with your mom. So if you can go into your future knowing that you may see your mom reincarnated into other situations, people, places, or events, if you can come into it already knowing that, that already gives you a leg up on that next cycle that you may be experiencing. So do you feel a little bit more confident now with how you can overcome this cycle? And now you are no longer looking at this guilt or the shame or this creative block as something that is a form of resistance and it's going to stay a form of resistance, where now maybe you can actually look at this resistance and say, this is just a stepping stone to where it is that I'm trying to go, right? This is just going to elevate me. This is going to give me more leverage now that I have this perspective. Let me know. Now we're going to move on here. Thank you so much, Courtney, for allowing us to dissect all of these parts with you as well. We have Brittany. Brittany, for you, the cycle that you're looking to complete is trauma. So the triggers that you've accepted, just learning to grow and move and build on, moving when triggers come. Okay, so what, you don't have to tell us exactly what the trauma is if you don't feel comfortable with that, and that's totally fine. But how is this showing up for you in your life? Is there something in wealth or relationships or health that is being very activated once this trauma or trigger comes into play for you? Where do you find yourself hitting your head against the wall, repeating something over and over and over and over and over again? Because trauma is great, but it is a blanket statement. There are so many nuances when it comes to trauma. So we want to figure out where this trauma is stemming from. So how is it actively showing up in your current life right here, right now? Courtney says, I feel confident and calm with this perspective. Perfect. And Brittany, you said relationships. So history of physical and verbal trauma. Okay. So for this, when you start to experience this physical and verbal trauma repeating over and over and over again, what is it that you tend to do? How is it that you tend to react and respond that you know is probably not in the greatest service to your highest good? Do you ignore it? Do you tell yourself that you deserve it? Do you just say, well, this always happens to me, so what's another time? Do you fight it? Do you speak up on it? Do you create boundaries around it? Do you stay in contact with this person even if you know it's not the best for you? Do you stay in the relationship and suppress your own needs and look over your own needs so that you can still have that resemblance of what you believe could be love? How is this impacting you, and what is it that you're actively doing when you're seeing yourself repeat the cycle over and over and over again? And also, are you in currently a relationship where this is triggering you at this time? Or are you kind of in a place right now of isolation? Are you a little bit more solo right now? Is this something that was a recent event that you're trying to heal from, and then you're still wanting love or relationships to be a part of your life experience, so you're being a little bit more open, but you're hesitant? I want all of these. I know there's a lot of questions there, but that's just to kind of give you a grasp of how to become more aware of the cycle that you're in right now. You said I suppress in the past. I have suppressed in the past, and we have grown from it, and trauma with the current relationship. So the current relationship that you have right now, you have suppressed certain things. So what is it that you are suppressing? What exactly are you suppressing? Your emotions? And if you are suppressing emotions, what are those emotions? Let's play the emotional guessing game right now, or question game. What emotions are you suppressing? Is it your intuition that you're suppressing? And you said we've grown from it. So good. I would also love to know how you have both come to a solution, or is this the kind of growing from it where it's been addressed? Maybe there's not really a practical or tangible solution, but time has passed and we've kind of just let it stay in the past. Is there an actionable solution that you have come to, because this is a current relationship? So is this something that you feel that, okay, if we get into the cycle again together, we will be better at it the next time around? Or are you like mortified that this could happen again to any capacity, because you don't feel like there is any tangible solution or process or method or way to overcome this as a combined unit? I know that these are a lot of questions as well, but this is going to help me understand the core and the root. You said the emotions that you suppress are anger, and then fear that we've talked, and you get to express, and he knows the triggers, but sometimes it's uncontrollable or uncontrolled situations that trigger past issues. Okay, so this is a little bit more nuanced, which is perfectly fine. And I feel like since we have like a limited space in the chat too, it's probably a little bit more challenging to convey everything that you're wanting to convey at this time. But let's just take it beat by beat. So anger is typically a secondary emotion. There is an emotion underneath the anger. So anger is the secondary one. It's rarely ever, if ever, the core. So we want to continue to get to the core. So we talked about fear. Fear was the next one after anger. So a lot of times when we have fear and we don't know how to protect ourselves, we don't know how to be independent enough to protect ourselves or find safety, or if we don't know how to trust ourselves, we can start to resent ourselves. And that's where the anger can start to come from. But since this is a relational issue, oftentimes we can misplace that anger onto the other person. Not saying that the other person isn't contributing to the feelings of anger, but oftentimes it can be easier for us to displace that anger and put some more blame onto others. But at this point, I feel like there is room for taking more radical responsibility over the kinds of situations that we have experienced, because this seems to me, and since we're in a training that is all about cycles, that this is obviously not the first time that this has happened in your life in general, but also specifically, this is not the first time that it's happened in this particular relationship. And you said 100. So what we have to begin to address then, Brittany, is the underlying fear that we have and why that fear is there. So I know I touched on a couple different things, but I want to hear from you. Why are you in fear? And I also want to hear from you, why are you still suppressing it? And it can be as easy as, I lack the knowledge and know-how. I lack the tools. I don't know how to protect my energy. I don't know how to verbally stand up for myself. I get into shock. I get into freeze, flight, fawn. I get into this weird headspace that I'm not even myself anymore. and I don't even know who that person is. And then they take over, and then time passes, and from there, you know, things seem a little bit lighter because I'm not in the middle of it anymore. And then we just kind of get back into the same old, and then we just wait for things to feel better. Now, I'm not saying that that is what is there, but I'm trying to create different possible understandings of why it is that you may be doing what you are doing. You said, I suppress because I'm learning how to verbally express. Because you weren't allowed to express when growing up. Okay, perfect. I love this because this is something that we can work with, right? This is something that we can work with. So you right now are experiencing a lot of fear that's turning into anger, but that fear is coming from you not feeling like it had ever been safe for you now or growing up to express yourself verbally. Maybe you were shut down. Maybe you were neglected. Maybe you were shunned. Maybe you were abandoned. Maybe you were told to isolate or made to isolate yourself. And so if for you, we're looking to build the skill of verbally expressing ourselves in times of heightened emotion, we first have to learn how to verbally express ourselves before that heightened emotion actively strikes. So something that you can do for yourself. Now, let's say we're playing the guessing game. We're getting to the core. The core is fear, and the fear is tied to having a underdeveloped skill. And that's all it really is. This is where we get to change the perspective, right? And our perception of these things. It doesn't have to be this big, overarching, looming, dooming, scary thing. It's an underdeveloped skill. And once you can strengthen and build the skill up to where you feel more confident in it, that fear will then go away. It will start to lessen and lessen. And once you start to be able to protect yourself with your words, you will no longer have to feel as much that you have to protect yourself with anger. Because anger is protection mode. Anger is protection mode. And it's not to eliminate your anger, because anger is necessary. Fear is necessary. But if anger and fear are overruling your life in the ways of your relationships to the point where you don't feel like you're in a healthy relationship with yourself, and how can you be in a healthy relationship with others, then that's definitely when there's an imbalance, there's an overactivity of that kind of emotion in the body. And that we continue to make decisions and take actions from that place, we're only ever going to manifest a bigger and bigger cycle. So remember when I told you that the cycles that we experience, once we understand how to complete them and then break the habits and create new ones, it can get smaller and smaller and smaller. What happens in reverse is if we don't know what we're doing and we have these imbalances within our own energetic body that cultivate more and more and more and more and more, because we're not doing this process of the self-discovery. We're not doing this process of the healing. We're not doing this process of understanding the core emotion that's causing all of this. What happens is the cycle gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what we want to stop. We don't want to feel the suffering over and over and over and over and over again. That's the point of why we're here. We want to be able to minimize it and minimize it and minimize it so that our joy in life can start to overpower. Our peace in life can start to overpower, right? Where we're no longer dwelling on these certain things over and over again, but we are using them as tools to help us get into that timeline or that reality or that identity that we actually desire and prefer in our hearts. So for you, building that skill of verbally expressing yourself in heightened emotions and in regular emotions, that could be something that is in your throat, right? And I'm doing all of this without tapping into your guys' energy. If you want me to tap into your energy, we can definitely do so through a mini Reiki session or an actual like one-on-one 60-minute session. But for the sake of this, we're just kind of giving you guys the gist of, you know what, for you, it could be an underactive or even blocked throat chakra. So we may have to release some of the fear and the anger that is trapped in there, if it's trapped in there for sure. We also may be having some issues with our solar plexus in terms of self-worth. And oftentimes when we're experiencing a lot of anger, because anger is here to protect us, there could also be something going on with your root as well. Because when we have an imbalance in the root, oftentimes that can lead to rage, anger, frustration, irritation, agitation, irritability, all the things. So you could have a different couple energy centers that are correlating to this fear. And even if one energy center was the cause or the source of that fear, it still means that there are other energy centers that could have been impacted along the way for you too. And you said, let me see. Okay, perfect. I just for a second thought that you had something else. So when you understand where in your body, and we can do this right now too, you can let me know where in your body it's showing up. In those moments, if you can recall back, or if you can just tap into your emotional body right here, right now, in the present moment, and say, hey, where do I feel the most anger in my body when these times happen? Where do I feel the most fear in my body when these times happen? Where do you think that is? Do you feel it in your chest? Do you feel it in your head? Do you feel it in your throat? Do you start to get a little itchy and coughy, and then maybe your voice starts to tremble? In your head. Okay. So in your head, the way that you are perceiving something, or the way that you're understanding something, right? The input of everything could be a little bit off. The way that you're receiving the information from the other person, maybe you aren't able to hear that other person and the ways that they're trying to express themselves as well. So that could just lead to a mix-up of communication altogether. But of course, the head is still part, the upper three energy centers of the crown, the third eye, and the throat, that's all correlating to the head as well. And what we're able to intake through our ears or in through our eyes, and what we're able to express out through our mouth. So definitely take into consideration that those energy centers of the top three are something that we need to work on. Now, I always suggest that whenever you do energy healing, we always take a look at the whole energetic system, right? I've said that over and over and over again, but to pinpoint where some of these things are still super important for you. So from there, when we've gone through the releasing process, right, and we're working on developing these skills, that could be the action that you take, we still want to remember to infuse certain things. So what elements could help with the anger and the fear? Earth is really good for that. Anger, probably not so good with the fire, right? Because when you think of anger, you think of getting hot, you think of red energy. You think of your words being very fiery. You think of them cutting down people or destroying people, right? Words can be used to create, right? And have an evolution and change in different things. But if we have too much fire, it can lead to somebody's getting burned, whether it's me or whether it's you. So I would say to help release some of that, and to infuse a particular medicine, maybe we want to think of something a little bit more along the lines of earth and water. If we're having issues with communicating, then that would be more of the air element, where what we are speaking out into existence is coming from divine truth, but we have that earth and that security and that level of inner knowing when we are expressing ourselves to keep us grounded, to keep us stable, to keep us secure, to keep us a little bit more level-headed, instead of all these thoughts are in my head and I'm feeling a little bit anxious, or I'm feeling really angry and everything that's coming out, like I'm having trouble expressing it because either I start to cry or I get silent or everything that comes out is super freaking mean and it starts creating more issues altogether. So again, for you, Brittany, that might be a little bit more nuanced, but these are all important things to consider. Last thing for you is the actionable steps, and that is something that doesn't have to be very hard for you. I would actually suggest that you communicating with yourself in a mirror, or communicating with your higher self, or communicating with your spirit guides could be something that help you. And I would start the process today, right? Start the process today. Learn how to protect yourself in a verbal way today. Why not? What are we waiting for? Right? Because the more confident you can start to become when expressing yourself, and the more you can hear yourself when you're not in a time of need of using that skill, but it's underdeveloped, the more that you're able to feel like you got it under control, right? So when I say talk to yourself in the mirror, I want you to think of just anything throughout the day that sets off some sort of emotional trigger for you. It doesn't have to have anything to do with what you're experiencing relationally, But I want you to monitor your emotions throughout the day. And if you get really angry, or if you get really frustrated, or if you get really sad, if you get really happy, I want you to start to communicate to yourself what it is that you're feeling, why it is that you're feeling it, and what that emotion needs from you. And maybe that emotion says, I just need a hot cup of tea. Like, that's all I need. I just need 5 minutes of silence. Don't pick up the phone. I just need X, Y, and Z. I just need a good 15-minute nap, and I can come back to it when I'm good. But I want you to be able to say it out loud. This is not a process anymore that you can do in your head if you've only been doing it in your head. And I want to know too, if you are already accustomed or used to speaking to your higher self and speaking to your spirit guides and spiritual team, and if you're not, or maybe you pray and you just speak to God, or you speak to creator, source, universe, whatever it is that you call it, that's fine. But I want to know if you're comfortable already speaking to something or someone that could be of a higher power or energetic difference than just you and you only. Perfect. You said that's great advice. Makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. You said, yes, you do reach out to higher. Great. So in those moments, every single day, say, okay, I feel this way. Why do I feel this way? Can I process and filter this emotion through? What does my emotion need for me? Repeat. Because when you go through that process, the same exact thing's going to happen. So let's say you get into an argument with your partner or something re-triggers you. You can literally look your person in their eye if they are someone who is ready to receive, and it is a good and proper time for safety and intimacy and vulnerability. If you don't ever have that with your partner, it's time to see, when you both are in a neutral state, it's time to see how you can start to create that safety, that zone of safety. And you can call it that if you want to, a zone of safety with that person. Hey, zone of safety. There's people who call it peace rosing, where they literally have a physical rose and they give it to the other person and say, hey, like, this is the peace rose. I have something to say. You know, when you have the rose, you can talk. When you are talking, I can't talk over you. And all you can just express everything that you have to express. And then I will respond. And then I will get the rose and I will talk, right? If you don't have a safety zone, it's time to create one. And then when you're in that safety zone, it's going to be much easier for you to say, hey, when we were in this time and you said or did this, I felt this way. I've done my best to process this emotion on my own so I can come to you as neutral as I possibly can be, but I'm going to let you know I'm still feeling this very much. And I am sharing this with you because I feel like we can move forward in a different way. So this is what I need emotionally from you. Is that something that you're able to handle or manage with me? And then flip it over. But it's got to be one person at a time. It could be very easy in relationships and different dynamics and with people's receptivity or awareness or emotional intelligence. It could be very easy for everyone to talk over one another or try to bypass your feelings because they're like, well, I feel that way too. You say that I do this to you, but you do the same thing, right? It's not about that. That is no longer a zone of safety. And then if you experience that, then the conversation may have to come to an end until you are both ready to have a conversation in a neutral way again, and then have to go over the rules and regulations of the safety zone. Okay, so Brittany, does that make a lot more sense? Do you feel like you have actionable steps moving forward to make a difference in your life? And do you feel ready and willing to actively do so? Or is this something that you're going to continue to choose over and over again to repeat the cycle? Brittany says, yes, it does. I feel I can make these steps. Beautiful, Brittany. I love to see that. Thank you so much for participating in this hot seat coaching. I appreciate your ability to open up with us because I know that some of these cycles that everyone could be experiencing are pretty tough, and they create visceral feelings within us, and it can honestly sometimes overpower or take over our lives. And so I'm very, very appreciative for those of you who are stepping up to the plate and willing to make an active change in your journey and in your story. And yeah, Brittany, you're definitely not alone, especially in relationships. You know, I'm not sure what your partner or your counterpart is like, but I know that not every single couple comes from the same state of like awareness or ability to communicate or ability to problem solve. And if you are someone who considers yourself to be a spiritual person, awakened person, enlightened person, we may not be in a relationship with someone who believes in what we believe in that way. You know, they may not come from the same background as we do religiously or spiritually or energetically, or even the way that we were raised. And so it can pose as a challenge when we have someone in our life who may also be underdeveloped in certain skills, but that's typically what it is, right? It's not that someone is innately a bad person. Not saying that you are saying that your person is, but just for anyone dealing with relationships in that way, it's just that we come with a set of skills and some of those could be underdeveloped. And all it takes is for us to have that awareness and then have a game plan for moving forward to make that change. So Madison, hi, I'm sorry, just got in. What is the question you're posing? So Madison, right now we are rephrasing and changing our perspective on how we are breaking repeating cycles. So at the beginning of this training, I said that it's not the cycle that we break, it's the habit that we break. And truly what we're looking forward to here is completing the cycle. So if there is a particular reason why you're like, oh, okay, we're doing this breaking cycles free training today, I want to be a part of it. What called you to be a part of this training today? What is a cycle that you're looking to complete in the near future? What is a habit that you're looking to break? How is it impacting you in your life? And we will do some hot seat coaching for you to help you with the step-by-step process. So I'll give you a moment to kind of gather your thoughts and express yourself in the chat. And then we can get into your hot seat coaching. But it's very, again, I want to hit on this. It's very important as we're waiting for Madison to share with us her story and her journey. It's very important that we bring it back to the energy centers. With whatever you experience with me, I'm always going to bring it back to the energy centers, because that is the foundation of what makes us who we are, is our energy. Without our energy centers, we would not have life. And so if we have these energy centers that quite literally impact every single moment of our waking day and lives, wouldn't it be important to make sure that we are tapping into these energy centers as much as possible to understand? Why is it so much easier for us to take on other people's needs, other people's wants, other people's desires, other people's pain and suffering than it is our own, right? Because we don't have the emotional attachment to it that other people do. We don't. We have our own emotional attachments. They weigh us down. They keep us scared. They, you know, sometimes pose as threats to our nervous system, to our subconscious, and it's much easier to bypass them and try to fix or help somebody else. But that's not what we do here. Not here in this community, not in the Mystique Awakening community. We're all about looking inward. Because as we continue to focus inward, that is what truly makes the most significant impact and influence in our external reality. And that's what we want to drive home today. So I really do suggest, if you don't know about your energy centers, it's time to get involved in that free masterclass. And it's something that you just put your email in and you start to watch it. It's as easy as that. I think, I don't know if it's in here. If it's not in this free community, I'll put it in this free community, or I'll leave you guys with the link to it so that you guys can access it right away. And if it's been a while since you've seen that Chakra Pose masterclass, but you did when I posted it about a year ago and you just want a refresher, make sure that you're watching it again. Courtney says, I have a question real quick. If I did one of my steps as a rejection, like therapy mindset, do you think that could be, that could later be more harm than good? So for your action steps, if you decided to do rejection therapy, I feel like that could be beneficial. I feel like you understanding how it feels in your body is going to be something where you can like navigate that for yourself. So let's say that you were doing rejection therapy, and one of the days was like a really rough day and you are not feeling like yourself and it's really impacting your self-esteem and self-worth. Maybe the next day we don't participate in rejection therapy again. We just take a moment to infuse and self-soothe, because that's the thing about the rejection therapy. That's the thing about anything. We need some aftercare. We can't just go into rejection therapy and then just like blindly be like, oh, okay, this was a no, right? And I didn't think it would mean that much to me. I didn't think it would create so much of this emotional dissonance within me, but then it did. And then you're like, okay, well, like I'll just try again tomorrow. And then you try to use the rejection therapy as external validation to help you self-soothe instead of you actually doing the self-soothing process. That's where I would say that it could be more harmful, right? Where you're like, well, I didn't, you know, I got rejected 3 times today, but maybe if I try again tomorrow, I'll get accepted. And then I'll just like, that'll make up for it. You know, I'm still always pro take care of your own needs first. And if you need some time away from the rejection therapy to soothe what's going on and what it is that you're experiencing, that's the point of it, in my opinion. Because the point of rejection therapy is not always to get the yes. The point of rejection therapy is to neutralize within you the knee-jerk reactions and responses to that external invalidation that you get, right? And it's to almost condition yourself to feel neutral in times of external invalidation. Very good question. Okay, let's see what else. So Madison says, oh, okay, I have a difficult relationship with food, overconsumption, mindless consumption, etc. I'm looking to uncover what the energetic cause of this is. My suspicion is that it is connected to my solar plexus because it tends to light up when I speak of this problem. How do I explore this further? And so we're going to play the question game. So Madison, I know that you weren't here earlier. I'm going to go over the step-by-step process of overcoming certain cycles. So the first one is the question game where we find that source, which is exactly what you're asking. So we're going to get to that right now. The second one is addressing that source cause. The third is finding which energy center is holding on to that emotional tie, which you're already discussing a little bit. So we'll see if that is, in fact, the case for you. Then we release that emotional tie. Then we infuse the medicine and replace the energy that we had just released. And then we create the physical and actionable game plan afterwards. So we're going to go through this whole entire process with you right now, which is very fun. So having a difficult relationship with food, when you recognize that you are overconsuming or mindlessly consuming, when is that? What happens? What's the trigger? And then it ends with that as your internal solution, because for you, that is your solution. And oftentimes it is to self-soothe. It's very heavily connected to an emotional tie. So we're going to figure out what that emotional tie is. But what causes that? It's A, then goes into B. So B is the overconsumption. What is the A that usually happens within you? What is the experience that you are perceiving? And then, how does that for you translate into the relationship that you have with food, where you may feel like you need it to comfort you? You may need it to feel X, Y, and Z. Maybe it's a place of security for you. Maybe it's a way to help you deal with anxiety. And then I know that you said that your suspicion is that it is connected to your solar plexus. I wouldn't doubt that. I would also probably say that it's very connected to the heart space as well. And it's also probably very connected to one of the energy centers at the top. So probably your third eye as well. But it depends. It depends. It could also translate to your ability to feel safe. Sometimes the overconsumption of food is due to us feeling like we never had enough food growing up, and so that we are always overconsuming because it's that fear-based mentality of, I don't know if I'm going to have this again. I don't know the next time I'm going to eat. I don't know if I'm going to ever have this kind of quality of food again. So let me make sure that I am stocking up right now because that is what makes me feel secure. So if that was the case, that could also be correlated to the root chakra as well. Typically, though, with many of the, if this for you would say maybe an addiction, not telling you that's what it is, but if this were to translate a little bit closer to an addiction, and there's other people who are viewing this that may have addictions, a lot of the times it is an all-encompassing, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an all-encompassing dynamic. So it could be a lot of your energy centers all at once that are contributing to this. And then it comes here, and then it goes here, and then there's like a system where it may follow. So if it is like self-perception, where maybe growing up, people always, and this is just an example, I'm not saying that this is your story, but maybe growing up, you were always underweight. And so you did everything that you could to consume as much as possible because people were making fun of you or saying that you had certain eating disorders. And so you decided to consume more so that you weren't perceived in a certain way. And so that could very actively contribute to maybe that third eye component that could actively contribute to, again, that solar plexus, or even just the need to socially survive too. So I would love to hear what your thoughts are on that, Madison. I know that you're probably typing right now. And as Madison is typing, I know Danielle, you're still here. Andrea, you're still here. If you guys still want hot seat coaching, you let me know. If you wish not to participate in the hot seat coaching, let us know that as well, so I stop picking on you guys. And I've also had in my life too a couple different friends who have gone through major weight loss journeys where the relationship with food is very integral to them, and they've had to kind of rewire their brains a little bit and rewire what it means to them, you know, the relationship with food, what that means to them, and how they can choose something that will better serve them. So I'm interested in knowing, when we get to the action taking part or that action game plan part, I'm very interested to know what those healthier choices could be for you once we start to navigate this a little bit further. In the meantime, as we're waiting for Madison to respond here, do we have any questions still? Is there something now between Courtney or Brittany or anyone else who's here listening, or even for those of you who are going to be watching this on a replay, is there anything that is still sticking out to you? Is there something that you're still kind of questioning? Is there still something that you're like, I don't know if I'm 100% on this concept yet. I don't really know how I can trust myself to make a change if I've never made this kind of change before. I don't know how I can navigate this process by myself if I have to also navigate it with a partner. I can barely navigate it by myself. How am I going to help my partner get through this too? Let us know in the chat or even in the comment section when you're watching this replay. Madison says, I think I do it when I feel not enough because I'm not being productive. It definitely feels like an addiction also. I feel powerless over it. I also think I'm being rebellious because my mom would judge me for what I ate when I was younger. So I eat whatever I want now in protest, if that makes sense. It does make sense. It absolutely does make sense. This is very valid. And I can see that you are very aware of the different aspects and elements and dynamics that could contribute to the actions that you are taking, right? So we're gonna break this down beat by beat for you. First, you are saying that you think you do it when you feel like you're not enough, and it's directly correlated to your ability to be productive. So here we have to uncover this sliver and slice, because what you have given me, there's a couple different slivers and slices. So with this sliver and slice, it's almost like we feel not enough. And in some way, we could say that you not feeling enough could also, in a metaphorical sense, be some sort of void. And that void, you may just be trying to fill it with something very physical. And once you do, and then of course you're connecting that to, well, I'm doing something, you know, like I, you know, I'm doing this. It's something that makes me feel like I am enough, you know, that maybe I'm able to provide for myself. Maybe I love the way that I cook for myself. Maybe cooking or eating out and being able to purchase a nice meal for myself makes me feel enough. Maybe it's something that could be tied to those things as well. Again, all of these are very nuanced and we would have to go a little bit more back and forth about it. But it could be tied to a couple different things, but you not feeling enough and then wanting to feel like you are enough by taking a certain action, we really have to dissect, like, why is it that you don't feel like you are enough? Why is there this recurring thought for you that you're not being productive? What is that thread of belief? Where does that thread come from? Who told you that you were not enough, and why are you still believing that person who's told you that you are not enough? Then from there, we have definitely feeling an addiction also. You're feeling powerless over it. So this is something that may be a little bit more unconscious for you, where you're like, okay, I don't really feel like I was very productive today. This sucks. I'm not feeling good about myself. a slew of other self-perceived notions that may not be the healthiest for you. And then you just find yourself already snacking on something. And that could be a way that you are comforting yourself in that moment. A lot of the times food is for comfort. A lot of the times, not every single time, but a lot of the times there is that major component, because when you have that, and let's say too, if you're not feeling enough and you're worried about your level of productivity, that does have a lot to do with the solar plexus. And then you take something physical and integrate that and infuse that into your solar plexus. So it's almost like you're trying to use food as a medicine. And a lot of the times with addictions, we use substances as a medicine, but sometimes we're not choosing the appropriate medicine for what we actually need. So we have to figure out what we truly need and see how we can replace the medicine that we've been giving ourselves with something that's actually going to help that in the first place, where we're minimizing that cycle and not repeating it over and over and over again. So for you, you have to discover why you don't feel enough, what triggers you not feeling enough, how productive do you actually have to be in order for this not to take place? And then how can you rewire your brain? And this would be a little bit more of that action plan. But how would you be able to rewire your brain to say, you know what? I am enough. I am productive enough. Even if I'm resting, that's me being productive. Even if I slept in a little bit longer today, that's me being productive. Even if all I did was go around my house and clean today, but I didn't really work on my passion projects and I didn't really do anything else, that is still me being productive. Maybe you have been associating productivity in a little bit more of a negative way in your brain, and you are being super productive, but you just don't qualify the things that you're doing as being productive. And those are the ways that you need to change some of your perspective if you feel like that is what is a correlation that you're creating in your head. So from there, you also think that you're being rebellious, right? So when I hear rebel, I always think teenager. But it's not always the case, but teenagers could be very rebellious. So I'm wondering for you, during those moments that your mom was judging you for what you ate when you were younger, like how old did that start? When did you become very conscious over that? And then at what age did you start to make that change? What age did you start to make that change of, you know what, like, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to eat this even more. I'm going to do it behind her back. I'm going to do it in front of her face. I'm going to do this thinking hateful thoughts, you know, like, because then it's looking like retaliation. Then it's looking kind of like a vengeful thing, where not only could you be eating and associating that with comfort, but now you're eating and associating that with justice almost, where you're like, well, she doesn't like me when I do this, so I'm going to do it. And that's going to be the form of justice. You made me feel bad, so I'm going to do this act so you get to see me and you don't like it more. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you make me feel this way, so I'm going to make you feel this way by you having to see that I'm doing this. And so figuring out which version of you who remembers that and who's still holding on to that rebelliousness, you bringing them into the forefront could be very beneficial for you to reintegrate that aspect of you that feels a little bit fragmented or feels a little bit like they're still suffering or feels like they still have something to prove. Okay. So you're saying, yes, I definitely do not give myself credit for my productivity. I think because I keep failing myself by not taking a healthier path, I have low faith in myself to make change. And the judgment started when I was in the fourth grade. And then when I left home for college, the eating got out of hand. Yes, there is still a part of me that feels the need to prove something. Okay. So again, we're going to take this beat by beat too. You feel like you're not giving yourself credit for productivity. So something from the action plan, I actually want to still go by this step by step. So we will. Everything that you said, we're gonna put a little bit more of that into our action plan and game plan for you. So you have some tangible steps, some practical steps moving forward to make you feel like you're progressing in this and that you're actually completing the cycle. And I want you to even consider what completing the cycle means for you. At the end of the cycle, what do you gain? What is your reward for completing this cycle? I think it'd be very beneficial for you to look at it that way so that you're not completely associating your identity with this addiction that you have, but you can now associate your identity with someone who overcomes certain things. And you overcoming something like this is you being productive, right? So if you want to kind of reword it that way as well in your mind, that could help you move forward. But if we're taking a look at this again, I still want to kind of anchor in to where in the body these emotional ties may be. I want you to answer in those moments where you're feeling not good enough, in those moments where you're feeling not productive, in those moments where you're feeling rebellious, in those moments where you're just mindlessly consuming, what in your body is flaring up? Where does that emotion show itself in your body? Do you actively start to get hungrier in those moments? Or is it that you don't even feel hungry? It's just something that you do and it's just all in your head. Is it in your chest? Is it somehow that your legs start to get a little bit weak and shaky and you're not feeling very supported and you're getting a little bit jittery and you're like, okay, I know if I eat something, I won't feel as jittery. Where in your body do you begin to feel this? And you're saying my reward would be to love myself regardless of what it looks like or what I eat that day. Beautiful. So remember that moving forward, that at the end of this cycle for you, it's going to end in self-love, in more self-love. Not saying that you are, you know, devoid of self-love right now. I'm sure you have plenty. However, there's probably, you know, a category of self-love that you'd want to attain, you know, a different level that you would wish to embody, something that feels in your nervous system and in your body more peaceful, more in balance, more regulated, more safe, more protected, more complete, if you will, when you have that level of self-love. So I want you to always use that as a pillar or as an anchor to where it is that you're going when you're thinking of completing this specific cycle. But two, I still want you to think of where in your body do you feel this the most? Do you feel it in your throat? Do you start to feel a little bit choked up? Do you start to feel like you can't really get your words out? Do you feel like, you know, it's something that you always have to vent to your friends about? Maybe we're being a little bit more overactive in the throat where it's like, oh, I'm not feeling productive. I'm not doing this. I'm not feeling enough. Oh my gosh, this one thing from my mom and blah, 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 blah. And like, you're just, you know, having to word vomit all of the emotions that are coming. And then you're like, okay, now that I've word vomited, I feel like I, you know, need something to soothe again. I need something to comfort me. I need, you know, to do this one thing. It's like an impulse, right? But where is that feeling in your body, your heart, your throat, and then your upper stomach? And so your upper stomach too is in deep correlation to your heart space. And you said, yes, very impulsive. So a lot of those impulses too, and a lot of addictions can be inside the sacral. So I do want to mention that because our sacral is our pleasure center and it's where we have our cravings as well. So a lot of the times the feelings of addiction can come from that sacral because it is something that is very primal. It's something that is connected by action, and our lower three energy centers are our connection to the physical world and often help with all of the actions that we're doing. It's very integral that we have those lower three energy centers to be able to provide a tangible, actionable anything step. And so keep that in mind too, that the sacral, when you're getting those cravings or the pleasure that you're feeling by using food as that substance or as that medicine for you at that time, understand that that pleasure center is impacted too and activated in that moment. But the heart, throat, and the upper stomach. So right here, basically this whole entire midsection, right? And this midsection is very much correlated to the present moment. I haven't yet touched on the differences of the lower three energy centers, the middle energy centers, and the top three energy centers. Technically, if we're just focused on the seven, we have the lower three of the root, the sacral, the solar plexus, and that, for the most part, is connected to the past, right? Our past life experience. Then we have the middle energy center, which is the heart space, which is very present. But it can often incorporate a little bit of that throat, the bottom part of the throat, the upper part of that stomach. At least I find in my teachings and my life experience and the lived experience of my clients. And then the top three energy centers of the throat, the third eye, and the crown are all about the future. So that also tells you too a little bit where your head may be at if you have these impacted energy centers of an overactive or underactive, why they may be coming up and surfacing and manifesting in the ways that they are. So it's just something to be very mindful of. But for you, it seems that they could be very, very present. Like in the present moment, this is what's happening. And of course, it could still be attached to some sort of like a past thing, but it's very like integral. It's very now. So with that, the heart, the throat, the upper stomach, and I would also incorporate some aspects of the sacral, are the energy centers that maybe you want to focus in on, releasing those sort of emotions and releasing all of that energy that is pent up or stagnant or trapped. And for you, those emotions are not feeling good enough, not feeling whole and complete, not feeling maybe deserving of reward or recognition or acknowledgement, or not understanding how it feels in your body to truly embody that success, right? And embody an inner value, right? Maybe you feel like if you're not productive, you don't have as much value as a person, waking, living, walking in life. Maybe you don't feel like you have that much value in the workplace or in your career. Maybe you don't feel like that you have that much value when it comes to your familial relationships or relationships in general. And that is something that could be impacting you, your need to feel very productive beyond the point of the production that you've already been providing for yourself. You said, I used to dance very often when I was younger, which I believe is very helpful for my sacral chakra. I haven't done so in a long time. Absolutely. That will totally, totally help. Dance is such a great way to activate all of the energy centers because you're using your whole entire body to do so. And it's a great way to transmute energy. And if you're being intentional and focused about that, and it's coming up to you while we're doing this hot seat coaching, that could be a way that your own intuition, your nervous system is letting you know, hey, this is something that you already like to do. And if you do it more often, it can help you feel better. So for you, an actionable step may be replacing some of the consumption with dance instead. So in the moments where you feel like you have to reach over for food, maybe you can reach over to music instead. Maybe you can reach over. And after that, you can still reward yourself, perhaps if you feel like it's necessary for your transition. You can still reward yourself with eating something. However, if it's something that you do decide to consume, allow that to be something that is nutritious for you. I wouldn't say at the very least, but allow yourself to have something that you know is healthy and good for your body and say, well, I'm doing this as a reward for myself because I just danced, I sweat a lot. Maybe you don't feel like you need that substance anymore, but if you feel like you're in a transitional period where you're like, okay, well, I can't just like dance it all out, I still have this craving for food. If you're choosing something, at least choose something that is very nutritious for you. If you find yourself going more towards the junk food, or if you find yourself going more towards like the excess sugars or like prepackaged things that don't offer a lot of nutritional value, and you know that about yourself, or you go for the energy drinks or something that is too heavy and too dense, then see how you can kind of transition that into something that's a little bit lighter for you. So that could be a great actionable step. Dance is also a great way to infuse energy as well. If you find yourself in the process of healing your own energy centers and you're doing a lot of releasing, you're allowing yourself to sit through these emotions, you are allowing yourself to understand where these emotions are coming from, at what age they're coming from, you're integrating, you're doing the shadow work, the inner child healing, all the things. Maybe even you decide to get a Reiki session and that is a way that you can help release and then infuse. At the very end, see still if you can incorporate that dance. For the actionable steps, we're moving up here and then we'll finish up with your hot seat coaching. You said that you keep failing yourself by not taking a healthier path. I always say that failure is such a beautiful thing and that we should never fear failure because failure just gives us more resources. Failure just gives us more context. And when we have the resources, when we have the information, when we have that context, we're then able to have a better outcome by making a different decision. When we actually decide to make that different decision for ourselves, we have all the evidence and we have all the information and resources from the moments of failing or from the moments of us making mistakes to where we can become more successful once we do start to choose that healthier path. And then all of those failures that are perceived by you, you can start to associate that with just the process of going through the cycle and using that as a stepping stone. I always, in my teachings with my clients, say that when you're experiencing resistance or an obstacle or a challenge, that's not to just block you and to keep you blocked, and it's something that you always have to break down with a whole bunch of effort. You don't have to look at it that way. Something from one of my past teachings of overcoming resistance, instead of you walking along your path and then having that one obstacle and thinking that you can never move past it, you have to understand that it's actually like this. right? You are the navigator of your reality. You are the creator of your own reality. And if you can learn how to minimize what that obstacle and resistance is by no longer giving it the power or the meaning that you have been, you can then use it as a stepping stool to get over, or a stepping stone to get over to that preferred lifestyle or identity or reality. And so it only takes that perception or that perspective switch, and then you can go ahead and move forward beyond it. So failure is one of those obstacles. Failure is one of those stepping stones that you can use. So the next time that you see yourself failing, or you feel that you're failing, say, yes, good, another step to get me closer to where I want to go. Instead of saying, oh, woe is me, another failure, because life is always going to be full of them. Life is always going to be full of them. But it's our relationship to the failure that we get to change and that we have full control over. So instead of giving too much meaning of failure in a negative context, start to heal your relationship with failure and look at it in a more positive context, because that will then help you transition from here to here, and then you can go ahead and move past it and move over it. You were also saying, you have low faith in yourself to make that change. You have to start to make the change something more exciting, right? You have to make that change something more exciting. So for you, if that end is self-love, like, okay, I'm choosing this healthier path right now. I'm making a decision or taking a different action that is healthier in this moment, because this gives me more evidence of self-love. It could be as simple as that. I'm doing this because it gives me more evidence of self-love. And the more evidence of self-love that I have, the better. And even in the moments where you get tripped up and you go back into autopilot and you didn't do the healthier path in that moment, you can still say to yourself, I choose to look at this failure as a form of information to help me leverage myself to a better position to make the healthier path the next time, to choose the healthier path the next time, right? Your goal here is self-love, to feel peaceful, to feel happy, to feel neutral maybe of certain things that used to trigger you. Your goal is that. Always relate it back to your goal. Don't try to correlate it back to all the things that you always correlated it to before. Correlate it to something that you actually want instead. And then we have here, the judgment started when you were in the fourth grade. So when you are doing that inner child healing, you don't have to go back to the fourth grade and when that, you know, first situation with your mom happened or anyone else happened in your life. You can just simply invite that fourth grade version of you into the present moment and ask them what they're feeling, ask them what they need from you. If they don't come to you with a certain, like, I don't know what I need right now. I'm just like feeling frantic. I'm just feeling insecure. I'm just feeling like I have a weird body image. And this is the first time I've ever experienced me being so self-aware of my body image because of this comment. Then you can help that fourth grade version of you navigate that. And you can navigate that with them through your words. You can navigate that with them through just the way that you choose to sit there and feel the panic with them, and feel the pain with them, and feel the insecurity with them. And it's not comfortable, but you're doing it with them. You're doing it for them. And that way, they will want to come with you. And after that, you can ask them, do you want to come with me? I can protect you now. I have better knowledge. I have better resources. I have better tools. We didn't really have those resources and tools in the fourth grade, but we do now. So are you willing to come with me? And I will help protect you. I will help you feel more secure. I will help you feel more loved. I will help you feel more productive. I will help you feel like you're more capable. I will help you feel more deserving and worthy. And 10 times out of 10, they'll want to come with you. And if there's still resistance for whatever reason from your inner child to come forth with you, you still haven't done all the work completely and deeply yet. And you still may need some more time to help navigate some emotional factors and help process that a little bit more. And sometimes they still do need that evidence of security, right? Sometimes they have to see it. They can easily say, well, I'm still feeling this way, insecure in this, that, and the other, and you're telling me to come with you, but you're not making any different changes. You're not making any different changes, so why would I want to come with you? And then you'd be like, true, solid, understood. And then start to give them that evidence and then revisit it later And then they can be like, okay, I see. I see that you're making those changes and I'll come with you. And then once they come with you, those changes can be made easier because now you have integrated that part of you that was missing before. Okay. They're no longer held back. They can come with you. So those are the different action steps that you are able to take. He said, yes, I didn't realize how present that fourth grade girl still is. And it's crazy. He said, that's amazing. Thank you. Changed my relationship with failure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then you said, yes, that's a great point. I tend to be very all or nothing, which blocks me from continuing my good progress. Yeah. And it's not that black and white, is it? You know, life is not that black and white when it comes to progress or what we're able to achieve. Sometimes it's those little tiny baby steps that once they accumulate, they make the most massive change. And so understand that for you, all or nothing, well, all or nothing, and then everything in between. You know, like play around with life, play around with your belief systems, play around with the way that you talk to yourself, play around with the game of life because life is a game. And if you're setting the difficulty to hard and it's getting impossible for you to play, then set it to a little bit easier. Get more lighthearted with it, get more creative with it, have some more fun. Right? So for you, if your belief system is set on, all right, it's all or nothing and everything in between, and allow yourself to play and allow yourself to have some grace. Okay. So that's what I've got for you, Madison. So beautiful. We've sat here for almost 2 good hours, and I feel like this is a great stopping point for all of us to be able to absorb and receive this information. I will say that if you found any morsel of information here, any golden nugget that really stuck with you, and you feel that this live training has benefited you to any capacity, please, please, please share this in the community chat that we have. Share this in the comment section if you're watching the replay. We have a section in our community chat that talks about share your wins. So I would love to see 4 or 5 share your win entries in our community so that others can see, oh, this live training was very beneficial. Maybe I should watch the replay. Or, oh, that live training was very beneficial. I want to make sure I'm live for the next one because they received hot seat coaching. I want hot seat coaching too. Okay. Take advantage of the opportunity that you all have here with this community because this community would not exist without you. So share what's happening in this community for not only yourself, where you get to validate the experience that we've shared here together, but to help other people see that they have this beautiful resource to connect to as well and utilize for themselves. Now, moving forward, let's say you're going through this process, you're getting a little bit tripped up in one of these steps. That's where I would say, reach out to me. We can see what the next best resource for you is. It is okay if you don't feel like you can do all of this by yourself. As humans, we were not designed to live life by ourselves. We were designed to be community and tribe based. And so it's very important to lean on the support that we have, not only in this community, but that you have from me as a spiritual mentor and energy healer. So the best resources that I have for you following this live training for you to ensure that you are holding yourself accountable in this process would be one of two things. One is the Beyond Balance program, which is a 4-week self-paced program that the second that you decide to enroll, you have it right there. It's guaranteed for you for a lifetime. You have lifetime access to it. And it goes over how you can use your own hands and tools and resources of the elements of earth, air, fire, water, and spirit to heal your own energy from the inside out. And it's coupled with Reiki sessions, distance healing Reiki sessions, where I'm able to heal you from the outside in. So not only are we helping you through the Reiki that I'm able to provide that you guys already know and love and have seen for the past 2 years or past few months, that you know that you already resonate with, but now you get to go a step further and actually make lasting change because you're taking the healing into your own hands. And that is so important. I believe truthfully from the bottom of my soul and heart that every single person on this planet should know how to heal their own energy, point blank, period. You should know what spiritual hygiene is, energetic hygiene is. You should know how to use the elements to heal your own body, to balance your own body. You should know how to rely on yourself, to soothe yourself, to give yourself some care. You should know these things. And if you don't, and you're like, it's time that I make a change, it's time that I make a difference, I'm so tired of going through this cycle all over again, I'm ready to end the cycle and complete it, and then react and respond differently if it were to come up again. I need something though to reference as a resource. I need something to help me with this in times of confusion, in times where I'm trying to do it by myself, but I just need that extra push. That's where I would then say, enroll in Beyond Balance. It will absolutely 100% change your life. And you don't even have to take my word for it. I have tons of reviews and testimonies from others that it has helped them tremendously. And one of the ones I can think of just off the top of my head, outside of Courtney, because Courtney's wonderful and Courtney will always let you know that my programs have helped her as well. And she's always one of the first people here that you can always ask any question to if you need, because she is one of my most connected clients. But I also have a client called Marcy, and Marcy had to borrow money to be able to have the mini Reiki sessions on one of my live streams because she was out of work. She had been out of work for several months. She literally did not know where to turn to. And her last grasp of hope, energetically, and this is coming from her mouth, her last grasp of hope was like, you know what? I've got nothing to lose. I've only got something to gain. Borrowed money to be able to go onto one of my mini Reiki sessions. From there, we started working on her energy little by little. And then we were able to remove certain blockages that were keeping her from experiencing the kind of abundance that she wanted. And she had gone months previously, always applying for jobs, never getting called back, always seeing where she can get an interview. No one was reaching back out to her. And then all of a sudden, after we started working energetically together, she had multiple people reach back out to her for job interviews. And now she wasn't like, woe is me, I have to see where I fit in this world of people who are not asking me to be a part of their you know, community or their company. So now I get to select what I want as my career, as my job. Now I get, you know, the best pickings. She landed her dream job. She got so much more money. She then invested in Beyond Balance. She went through that whole entire process. And then she came out of it with her dream car. So not only did she allow herself to heal in a deep way that would change just the way she thought about herself and the way that she felt about herself, but she was then able to quickly manifest all those things that she was wanting that she had been lacking in the first place. She manifested a free access to one of her favorite artists, Taylor Swift, and was able to see her in concert through the job that she was working at. She was also wanting to be a part of an internship that you have to be specifically invited to, got specifically invited into it, and was still able to do that, and then also go into the job that she was wanting. So absolutely crazy. And all of that happened for her within, I think, 3 months it was, from like start to finish. And she's still receiving a lot of her manifestations to this day. So that's just one of the testimonies that I have for you to share if you've never heard of me and my work before or know how my programs have benefited others. And the second resource that I have for you is my 6-month private mentorship. In this mentorship, you do receive Beyond Balance. That just comes a part of it because Beyond Balance is my signature best-selling program. It is the foundation of all of my work that I have been able to provide for the past 4 years. And in the 6-month mentorship, we do bi-weekly Reiki sessions where I tap into your energy and help facilitate the healing process from the outside in exclusively. But also we have mentorship sessions that are just like this bi-weekly as well. So every single week we're meeting, but every single week it's Reiki, mentorship, Reiki, mentorship, Reiki, mentorship. And that is only for those of you who are ambitious enough, consistent enough, motivated enough, and activated enough to actually make a long-lasting change and impact in your life, where you're determined to see through to this new identity that you're looking to shift into, where you're no longer waiting for life to just happen to you. You're no longer waiting for something to just drop out of the sky and magically feel like you're, you know, a rock star, or that you are the one, or that you are successful. You're taking it into your own hands by working on your energy first, because every single thing that manifests into this physical reality begins as energy first. And if you are only navigating this reality by looking at the external reality and seeing how you can change it, seeing how you can control it, and seeing how you can manipulate it, and you're constantly getting frustrated, you're living life backwards. And you have to start looking internally instead. because your internal world creates your external world. And that's what we go over in that 6-month private mentorship, where literally the transformations and the realizations that can be made in that time together are completely endless and unlimited. I can guarantee that. So for those of you who are interested in the Beyond Balance program, or even my 6-month mentorship, which you do have to apply for, because applications are the way that I'm able to understand if you're ready to access this and be ready and willing to be activated in this as you need to be, you want to make sure that you're applying for that. So if you have any questions, you let me know. You can DM me right here inside of the Mighty Networks platform, and I will respond to you shortly. I love you guys very, very much, and I will see you in the next live training. Bye.